Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined again by Pastor Margaret Michael, who's our Pastor of Presence Evangelism here at our church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. Pastor Margaret, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Grayson. I'm doing well. I'm always excited to be here, and hopefully today God will give us something that will help those that are listening to just a word of encouragement maybe today. And if that happens, I'll be really encouraged myself.
Me too, Pastor Margaret. And I know we're going to be in John 14, but just start off talking about what we're going to be talking about today. And I know you want to read some verses out of that chapter.
Yes.
Also.
Well, I really want to dive into John 14 and also a little bit over in John 15, but really today we're looking in the rearview mirror at Pentecost Sunday from June 4th, and I've just really been thinking a lot and doing some reading, and we have such a powerful source in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so today I really want to just talk about the Holy Spirit and what our lives maybe could be like if we really believed. I wonder what it would be like if we really believed that when Jesus said that we would do things greater even than what he had done. And, you know, he shared the gospel where he was, and obviously he went to the cross, and that's finished. We don't have to do that. But that we would take the gospel throughout the world, the disciples then, and it has been handed down to us as our decree, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us with that. So I'm just going to read starting in John 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You could ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And then over in Romans 15:4, the scripture, remain in me and I will remain in you. And so as we look at this scripture, it is just so rich with truth of the plans that God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, what a beautiful picture of all of their roles. And apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. So, and he tells us to remain in me and I will remain in you. And we hear that even over in verse 10 and 11. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And now he tells us that we are to remain in him, and he promises the Holy Spirit and tells us that in John 15, that apart from him, we can do nothing. And so now, as he goes to the Father after the resurrection, he has promised that the Advocate is going to come.
And as you were talking about that, I was thinking about how he also says in the Bible, it is better for you that I leave, because when I leave, I'll send the Helper who won't just be with you, but he'll be in you. And we kind of understand it now because we're in a post-Pentecost world. But the disciples didn't really understand that. They're like, how can it be better that you leave us? Like, you're with us and, you know, you can do all these miracles and do all these amazing things. How is it better that you're not here? And that was because Jesus, as a man, couldn't be all places at all times like the Holy Spirit can, and how Jesus can now that he's back in heaven with the Father.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. Right before I came in here, I was in another meeting, and Pastor Jim was in the meeting, and as he closed in prayer, he was praying right out of John 14, and so we started talking about that after he finished praying, and he said, you know, he said, can you imagine if Jesus would not have went to the cross and been resurrected and he was still in Jerusalem? And today, imagine if we were all trying to go to Jerusalem to see him, how long the lines would be. But instead, he went away so the Spirit could come and he could actually be with us and in us. And that is just such a powerful thought and a powerful truth that I know I do not embrace in my life on a daily basis as I wish that I would.
Yeah, I think we take it for granted that we have him living in us. And sometimes we might not feel, not necessarily we know that he's with us, but sometimes we just don't recognize it, like you were saying. We don't take time to recognize his presence or to acknowledge him in our lives.
You know, he tells the disciples that as he goes to the Father, he'll ask the Father, and the Father will send an advocate who will never leave us. And I looked up the word advocate. It just, I love to look up words and see what the meanings are. And actually, I just looked this up in Webster's dictionary. And I want to share with you a couple. Now, the word does translate comforter, encourager, counselor. And, you know, he is our help. He wants to help us. He's there for every question we have, every, not that we may get an immediate answer, but he is there as our help. And I was just looking at the synonyms of advocate, and here are just a couple. He's an advocator, an apostle, a backer, a booster, a champion, an expounder, an espouser, a friend, I like this, a gospeler, a herald, a hero, a priest, a promoter, a supporter, a true believer. And then related words were a loyalist, a disciple, an applauder, a cheerleader, an encourager. And it makes me think about maybe the thing that just comes to my mind right now is, you know, we may have something we're going to do and we are scared to death to do it. We are nervous And I was just watching a TV show the other day, and this little boy had went to the ball field, and he is up to bat, and his whole family has come to the field, and they are all there just encouraging him. They are doing everything they can to encourage him to swing at that ball. Just do it. And it's just a picture to me of the Holy Spirit is our cheerleader. He's our strength. He's so much more than just sitting on the lines. He lives in us and gives us strength. And that is what the Lord sent to us, was this advocate that will do so much through us if we will allow him to do that. And just really, before we move on from there, I thought it was very interesting. The antonyms to advocate are enemy, foe, rival, belittler, critic, and fault finder. And aren't those good words for the enemy and what he does to us to discourage us?
Yes, and I think one of the reasons that Jesus said he would send the advocate, send the Holy Spirit to us, is because he knew we would face the enemy and face all those things, and we would need an advocate to help us fight against the enemy.
That's exactly right. And he has prepared us. He's equipped us. And there's a few things that we need to do to make sure that that is available to us. And the first thing is to make sure that we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what Christ went to the cross for us, for our sin, and he saved us and set us on our feet, and the Holy Spirit comes and walks with us. And what a powerful thought, if you're having a discouraging day, to realize that the Holy Spirit is as close as a prayer. And he calls us into relationship, and he also, by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowers us to practice obedience so that there is nothing between us and the Lord.
Yeah, certainly. He said he wants us to have a relationship with him and the Father just as he and the Father are one.
Yes.
He wants
us
to be one with he and the Father and also the Holy Spirit.
Right. And why? Why does he want to have that relationship with us? Why did the Holy Spirit come? God knew we would need an encourager. He knew that the discourager would be very real to us. And so he has given us this great gift of freedom from our sin, for a clean plate, and he has sent an advocate to be there for us. And he does that so that we can live a life that glorifies him.
Well, Pastor Margaret, an example in my own life of when the Holy Spirit spoke to me or spoke his will into my life, the Father's will into my life, was my freshman year of college. We were actually doing our yearly fundraiser for the radio station because I majored in broadcasting, and we had a campus radio station, kind of a community radio station. And I was wondering if I should kind of like do a minor in like ministry or something, because I was worried that what happened to Dad would maybe happen to me, where he would call me into ministry, you know, when I'm an adult and have a family or whatever, because that happened to Dad. He was a full-time photographer and got caught in the ministry and had to go back to school. But during spring of my freshman year, during this fundraiser, hearing different people give their testimonies about what the radio station had meant to them, the Christian radio station, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and just said, "This is ministry." And I never thought of broadcasting or radio being ministry, but he spoke to me very clearly that it was ministry. And now I understand. I didn't understand then, or I didn't fully understand then, but I understand now. And also part of the verses that you read from John 14 says that if we ask anything in his name, he will give it to us. And I know me and Dad have talked before on the broadcast. Not just if we ask for anything, he'll immediately give it to us or grant our request. Right. But if we ask anything in accordance to his will and his timing, then he will give us that if we're seeking his will in our lives.
Yes, so true. And who would have ever thought that you would be here broadcasting with your dad in ministry with him? And that's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what I've been thinking about. And, you know, as we in this world now, things aren't as maybe stable as we would like for them to be, which we know who our King is, and we are trusting in the Lord and all of that. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands and wondering what to do about anything. Sometimes it's hard to remember that we're royalty in this world, that we have been bought with a price, and that God has a plan and a purpose for us. And I was reading the other day, and the author of the book was talking about we should, in Christ, knowing that we have this advocate, we should expect extravagant results. You know, we should expect that God is going to do these things. He told us that he's going to do things in our lives that we've never even thought of or imagined. But sometimes we tend to forget because we start looking around horizontally instead of vertically for our encouragement. We get discouraged. And so this idea of expecting extravagant things, and that's kind of goes against our thinking. You know, we don't ask for those things, but the Lord, as our Father, I believe that as we honor him with our best efforts to live a life that honors him, I believe that he wants to honor us. And we know how it is. I have children, and if they do things, especially, you know, when they steal, if they do the right thing, I'm always excited. But I think about when they were younger, and I would ask them to do something, and they would do it, and I would want to honor them for that. I would want to celebrate that. And I even remember myself as a young girl, you know, we had a huge yard, and when I was pretty young, I learned how to mow the yard, and my brothers forgot how, and for the most part. And so the yard mowing became my job. And when I would finish mowing the yard, my dad would have a snack ready for me, and it was normally a Pepsi and a Snickers bar. And that was my reward for doing a good job on a hot day. And I just think how much more our Heavenly Father wants to honor our efforts when we seek to honor him. So today I'm just kind of giddy almost with this idea of what if we stretched outside of our comfort zone and believed that he really was going to do some great things, that he might even use you and I. And that might be very simple things in just how we engage with people. It might encourage someone. It's not that we more than likely aren't believed to go to Africa next week, you know, on a mission trip, but we are going to walk outside and we're going to engage people. And my heart is that I will stretch myself to be always mindful of what he wants me to do in those moments.
And the other part of one of those verses is not just asking him something in his name when we give it to us, but believing when we ask, having faith. So when we come to him with requests, believing that he's going to answer our prayers, maybe not knowing how he's going to answer it or telling him how to answer it, but knowing that he will be faithful to answer if we believe and have faith that he will answer what we're asking him to do.
Right. You know, in verse 21, it says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." And I think about when you were going into trying to figure out ministry, radio broadcasting, and all that, he really revealed himself in a way that you've never forgotten that. And that is what I believe that he wants to do for us, not just once in a while, but he fills us with his presence. And not only are we, as we go out, an encouragement to others, but I pray that we can actually become an encouragement to ourselves and not allow the discourager, the enemy, to make us believe that we won't make a difference, because the Lord has told us that we will make a difference. And, you know, with the advocate, we know that we have someone on our side. And with that, if there is a side, we know what that means. There's another side. But we are the ones that have the advocate that will give us what we need. And when those discouraging thoughts come, being able to realize that God does bring conviction, but he doesn't bring condemnation on us. And so if we're having those condemning thoughts, knowing that the Lord probably is up to something really good and Satan's just trying to get us distracted. And it's not that Satan really wants us to do anything really bad. He just wants to distract us from God's best. And I just want to encourage each one of you today to realize that if there's discouragement, which we will all face, the Lord told us that we would face suffering. But if those things are coming our way, I would say that God has some great things in store for each one of us.
And Pastor Margaret, as you were talking, I was thinking about something that Dad said before, and I'm sure maybe other people have said it, but when you're on target, you become a target.
Right.
And, you know, another thing is, too, if you meet the enemy on the road of wherever you're going, you're headed in the right direction, because he wouldn't be bothering you if you weren't doing something that was pleasing to God or pleasing to his kingdom or beneficial to God's kingdom.
That's exactly right. So yes, we have an advocate. We have someone that, as Jesus said, he told the disciples, you know, he is with you, but he will be in you. And we have this great opportunity to allow the light of Christ to shine from our lives. Not that we are anything special. We are just, I often say that the Lord took up residence in low-class housing when he came into my life. And it's not because of us, but he does it in spite of us. And I am just a grateful believer who wants everyone to know that, boy, the peace of Christ does pass all understanding. And looking back, there's nothing in my life that holds a candle to the power of Christ.
And certainly as Christians, if you're feeling discouraged, and maybe you've asked Christ into your life, but maybe you haven't, you know, taken that next step and asking him to send the Helper or the Holy Spirit to go that next level, he can do that for you. Or maybe you don't know Christ, it's not too late for you to ask him into your life. And you can do both of those at the same time.
Right.
Christ can do that in your life, and he wants to do that in your life today.
That's right. And, you know, when we accept Christ, we get all of him. But there is this point in life where I believe that we need to surrender and give him all of us. Those places that we hold on to, believing that if I, you know, I just need to hold on to this. If we have our grasp on something in our life tighter than we have it on Jesus, that might be a place that will cause us not to have the peace that the Lord wants us to have. And it is in that surrender that even greater peace will come.
Well, Pastor Margaret, thank you for joining me for today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. And it was great to talk about our Helper and to know a very encouraging, gives me hope to know that we have a Helper. And I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, first of all, for sending us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, not just to be with us, but to live in us, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that, Lord. And help us to know whenever we're facing discouragement, to know that that's not from you, that that's from the enemy. And just help us to find strength in knowing that you live in us and that we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, within us also to lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. And help that voice to be louder than any other voice in our life, and help us to listen to that voice and not listen to the enemy, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings and everything you do for us. And we ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Thanks again for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. In closing, we have Kim McLean's song, Sanctify Me. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.